Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we just pray in the spirit wherever we are? In your own way, just pray. You will always be holy. We're in church, not in a religious atmosphere. Just lift up a cry in your heart. In your own way, you will always be holy. Holy forever. Pour out your hearts to the Father this morning. You will always be holy. Holy forever. You will always be holy, holy forever. You always be holy, holy forever. You will always be holy, holy forever. You will always be holy, holy forever. You will always be, pray in your own way, holy, holy forever. For your name is light that the shadows can deny it. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. And that's where we are. Your name is light that the shadows can deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Oh, Jesus, your name is a light
forever lifted high. Your name. Jesus, Jesus. Hey, you make the darkness stronger. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. You are Jesus. You make the dark. You make the dark. Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every head and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Oh, till every dark addiction starts to break. Ooh, yeah. Declaring there is hope and there is free. I speak Jesus, I speak Jesus. Oh, 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 your name, yeah, your name is. Oh, your name, your name, your name. Break every strong. Oh, shine. Burn like a fire. Cause your name is, your name. Shabakabaya, your name. Rabakoshi pakatalaba. Break every strong. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Burn on. Shabakabaya, kararabushi kabararababa shikurarabashakabaya. Jesus on the mountain. Jesus on. That's what we're thinking about today. Jesus in the darkness over there. Be confident. Oh, Jesus for my family. Oh, I speak the hey, Jesus. Every wall is falling down. Hey, we sing Jesus on the mountain. Jesus on. Jesus in our streets. Jesus in. Jesus in every darkness. Jesus in the darkness over here. Jesus for my family. Jesus for. I speak the holy mighty name, Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Your name is. Oh, your name. Hey. Yeah. Break every storm. Shine through the shadow. Power like a fire within my heart. Shababura kashubregeri abakosha. For your name is power. Your name is healing. And your name is life. Hey, hey, hey. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. I am the sound of revival. The world is waiting for me to be heard. I am the Bible they read. They will read me and they will be changed. I am the sound of many waters flowing from east to the west. Yes, Abba made me a wonder to my world. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can you turn to your neighbor and welcome them to church? Ooh, I feel the presence of God. Habakkuk 2 from verse 2. Popular part of scripture. Everybody knows it. We read together in one voice. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. I know some of you are wondering how this scripture connects with what we're doing. But it has a lot of connection. Yes, sir. Meanwhile, before I continue, church is not a religious place, okay? Yes, so you don't expect religious atmospheres. Yes, when you come to church, anything can happen. Yes, do you know the Lord can close this service from just the prayer? Yes, he can just cause us to pray. You know, I was speaking with Pastor Peter during the week, he said they just opening prayer in their fellowship on their campus, in their campus fellowship, I mean. And when they started the opening prayer, they could not stop the opening prayer. That's how they ended the service. It's like getting people baptized and the Holy Ghost, new people were coming, they were just baptizing. Now God can decide to end it just from the prayers. And I hope I'm making sense to all of you. Especially some of you who are very civilized people. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because sometimes your civilization can be your problem if it's in the wrong direction. You may be like, why are these folks wasting time? I have some meeting to catch up with. You know, many years ago I joked with a young man. I said, you are so in a hurry. What if Satan kills you? Will you make it to that meeting? He said, Pastor Simon, what do you mean by that? I said, you don't have spiritual stature, meaning you can die anytime Satan wants you to die. Now, I'm not saying that should be your reason to serve God. Even though I've seen people serve God for that reason. I told you the story of a young man, right? People die every November in their house. So, everybody have died to a fair extent. And that season, it was him that is feeling symptoms when it was getting to November. And he rushed as a pastor. Every November something happens. I'm feeling some symptoms. And you know, funny young boy, anytime I teach, he's just at the back, somewhere at the back. He'll just be
I wonder what is happening in his heart. Maybe he's like, this person, he tried, man. I'm impressed. Well, that's wrong. This, I wonder, because, you know, as a pastor, as you are teaching, you know people that are listening to you. You know those that are thinking, you don't know what you are saying. Yes, it happens in church. You know those that have pride when they are listening. But there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to keep on teaching. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know the Bible says there's a proud look. In scriptures, the Bible said, do not have a proud look. And the Bible said to Jeremiah, God speaking to Jeremiah, he said, don't be scared of their faces. That means some people can have scary faces even in church. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, Jeremiah was such a young man, younger, far younger than I am, over 17 when the Lord called him. And he had a message to nations, kings. And Jeremiah was begging God, please, not me. And God said, you have to go. You have to be bold. He said, don't be scared of their faces. You know, so the young man will always be looking at me in a very scary manner. The day I saw him in my office, I was very surprised. So I said, okay, what will happen is that you are sure you are born again. He wasn't so sure, so he didn't want to gamble it. He now became born again, should in case he's not born again. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He accepted Jesus. I said, okay, so after the service, some of my pastors will get you baptized in the Holy Ghost. Lie. He said, Pastor, can it happen now? I said, why not? I said, lift your hands. Before I said, take, he collected it from the Holy from God himself. He got filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in tongues. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that should be. Satan should not be the reason why you worship God. It's not right. If Satan is the reason why you worship God, your Christianity will be centered around fighting Satan. And it's not supposed to be like that. Are we together? It will be centered around fighting Satan. And God didn't design you to fight Satan. Think about it. From the beginning that God created you, you think he created you to be fighting Satan. Remember, Eden. See all the beautiful things in Eden. Apples, mangoes, pawpaws, pineapples, suya, ice cream. I don't know if there was ice cream. Maybe they had their own ice cream. All the beautiful things were in Eden. See how God loves man. Think about it. He created everything, kept man inside, and gave man a woman. You see that? Enjoyment was what you were created for from the beginning. No single problem. Think about it now. Maybe we are talking about it now. Where was the problem in Eden? It's only the woman that brought problem. I'm just joking. There was no single problem in Eden. Just enjoyment. Until Adam finally listened to the woman, to the devil, I mean. Through the woman. He was enjoying his life. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Is it wrong to listen to women? No. Make sure you don't listen to the devil. Because sometimes the devil can speak through women and men. I like the response. Not just through women. He can speak through women and... So when you are hearing people literally, you are hearing more than their voices. See, nobody any they talk like that. Pay attention closely. That may be the Holy Spirit. You know, every time I'll be using NF for bad example. Or that may be a demon when Joseph is speaking. He may have a Christian name, but be sounding under the influence of the devil. Peter was a Christian name. Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. What? Who spoke? Satan spoke through what? Peter. So sometimes you are hearing human beings, and sometimes they can be your brothers and sisters. In fact, there are people that have plucked other people's ear for you in the past. Remember, Peter plucked somebody's ear for Jesus' sake. He removed knife. If you come here, he go clear for you. He go show for you. But he still denied Jesus 3 times. And before he denied Jesus, see what he said. He was saying something emotional. Sometimes this emotional statement they tell you is not from the Holy Spirit.
You can't die. We are here for you. No, Jesus, why will you choose to die? And Jesus was like, that's not the inspiration I need right now. Get behind me, Satan. You know, like it sounds familiar, right? You've worked so hard, my brother, just rest. But you are still broke. That voice is not from the Holy Spirit. Keep on working hard. And rest when you should rest, of course. Are you all listening to me this wonderful morning? So God created man for enjoyment, His glory. Don't be religious about this, because some of you are Christians that like to suffer. As we're talking now, you are like, no, that old rugged cross where we'll cry. No. Calm down first. Before all of these rugged cross things came inside and the rest, God created man from the beginning to what? Enjoy his life. Think about it now. Where was the problem in Eden? No single problem. Adam, 10 years there's provision. 10 years there's abundance. 10 years there's everything he wants. He had no need. He had everything. Four rivers that supplied water to Eden. So much abundance. The root word for Eden in Hebrew is paradise. Paradise. God placed Adam in what? Paradise. Remember, anytime we say we are seated together with Christ, some of you used to forget that the Bible says at his right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. So it's not just the power we have. We have pleasures seated together with Christ at the Father's right hand. So don't just be conscious of releasing power. Be conscious of expecting what? Pleasures. See, all my life are full of plenty. It's full of plenty in the name of Jesus. But we're talking revival. So we'll not forget it. Are we together? Are you all here? So God created man for his glory. He gave man everything man will ever need in his life. Hallelujah to Jesus. I was saying that, you know, I know where we're going to. Some of you in church, never come to church and be lukewarm towards praising God, towards worshiping God, towards anything. They never be a big boy in church. Alright? When people are standing, stand. When people are seated, sit. When they say pray in tongues, don't sing in tongues. People don't understand these codes in church. Is everybody lift your voice and pray in tongues? No. They say pray in tongues. In one accord, what? Pray in tongues. When they say sing in tongues, don't start praying in tongues. Sing in tongues. Say my voice no go. It's still okay. It's your own singing. Always follow what is happening. Amen. Because sometimes we've observed. I had the woman of God who is in charge of, is this church in Abuja called this Family Worship Center? Mama Sarah, yeah. She lost her husband many years ago. She was saying something yesterday about phones. I don't know if some of you came across that video. How people use phones in church. How disgusting it can be. Are we together? I mean, you see people in church, it will now be, I did church, I go soon close. Yeah, typing in church. During the worship, you see them. Oh boy, will you worship now? I will talk to you later. Even the person you are typing to will know you are not a serious Christian. You are worshiping God. And you are. Now, if your lecturer is standing before you, will you do like this? These are mortal men that truly don't have. You know, most of you think your lecturers can determine your destiny. They cannot. But because of grade, fear of grade, you behave like a saint in school. When you see them, you carry their bag. Some of you, it's only worship. You have not worshipped them. Because of grade. But when you stand before Jesus, you are checking WhatsApp. You are in church telling somebody delay that status today and Sunday. And it's not every time in church you should carry your phone and be doing video. There are points in worship, you know, the atmosphere is so thick. You see somebody, oh, yes, Abba, love me. I am the voice of revival. Are you okay? It's not every point.
I just had these things in my heart that I would talk about it this morning before we continue. You know, one time, one of our blessed father, who is a psalmist, Ron Kenoly, was in Ghana ministering. I was watching it on YouTube. I think after the ministration, they posted the video. And while he was worshiping, people were now videoing him. He was almost crying in the worship. Then he now opened his eye. Instead of, you know, in those days when he was young, when he opens his eye like that, he will see people on the ground crying. But when he opened his eye, everybody was like this. He said, stop, inside the worship. All of you stop. He said, what is happening? He said, he now asked him a question. How many of you will be okay when you are having intimacy with your wife? And somebody is videoing you. Said, that's nice, that's nice. How many of you will be excited? Everybody will be ashamed, except for your wife and your husband. You'll be ashamed, isn't it? It's not even right, not even the shame yet. It's not right. Let them come in, don't be scared. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's not right. That's how it is in worship. Are you all listening to me? Be concentrated. See, you are worshiping God. In those days, you know, one of my friends many years ago when we were younger, he said he does not like what is happening now. God should have not changed. He said those days that God used to kill, nobody used to disrespect God. God has not changed. Do you guys get what I'm trying? But you understand what I'm trying to say? Angels ruled in the Old Testament. I mean, angels, they don't used to joke. That means straight down. You know, God warned Moses. He said, these angels that I have put before you, you better hear. Follow the agreement too. If you walk outside what I've said, you should not do. They will strike. The people will say, you know, because the pseudo-codes are in the angels. Immediately they started talking against Moses. What did the angels do? Fire. You see this fire? It was God's people that started receiving this fire. Not enemies. They argue with, they will start murmuring in their heart at some point. Which kind of God? Fire. Any smoking fire. So we're wondering, is that God? Especially when Moses said, repent from your evil ways. Do you know Moses told the angel to repent? Yes, that his ways are evil. So somebody now say, Moses is a strong man. He has stature with God. The man that told God to repent. How can Moses tell God to repent? Repent from which sin? God is not a man that is what? Nor the son of man that is what? It's only human beings that repent, not God. That's why you must rightly divide the word of truth. Don't carry Old Testament and mix it with the New Testament. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So when you come to church, you know, the mercy of God has been revealed in the New Testament. That doesn't mean that we should look down on the person of God. Are we together? Be very you know, just be humble when you come to church. Most of you, when you go to your place of work, you are very humble. Well, I've seen some of you in your offices. Coincidentally, I've seen some of you in this town who work. Very humble. I didn't even know it's you. I didn't know. Say, Pastor, sir. Now you be this. See how dressed you are. Nice. Humble look. Because they say, Christman knows his master. You know, those people are not born again. They don't have time for your foolishness. But in church, they say, sit down. Say, I don't feel like sitting down. Sit down. Say, usher, say, come to the front. Mm-mm. I like back seat. When you go to your office, do you tell manager, no, I don't feel like sitting here. Dear, let all customers come to me. Dear, what? In this Nigeria, you that they've been wondering whether they should sack you, you are going. So if you come to church, you know, these times, some managers are praying for workers to misbehave because they want to even do the workers' job. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. This guy, this money, say, if I'm holding this 100k my account every month, I know it will do for me. You now cough. Why did you not cover your nose while you were coughing? Sir, I'm so sorry. You have been sacked. Hallelujah to Jesus. So coordinate yourselves in church. That's what I'm trying to say. Are we together? Coordinate yourselves in church. So, you see, many years ago, in this time and season, Prophet Habakkuk received the vision from the Lord, and the Bible said God told him to write it down on tablets.
to tablets has been existing. Do you understand? They write it down on tablets. I know that one will sweet some of you. There is nothing new under the sun. I've done that teaching once, right? That there's nothing new under the sun. Think about even if aeroplane, Elijah, submarine, what's his name? Jonah. There is nothing new. Scientists are just stealing from. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's nothing new. So tablets have been there. If you are doubting it, we can even go to Moses. There was light on it, wrote on it. Even pen to write was there many years ago. And you know these people look at the Bible? And when they steal ideas, they'll now come and tell you there's no God. There's no God. There's Amadioa. You know, somebody called me, he told me, sir, do you know what is happening in UK? I said, what is it? He said, some people are worshipping rats. Rats. I say, Yongu. He said, yes. I said, do they know we eat their gods in Benue? Now look at civilized people. What are they worshipping? Rats. You sit down and be allowing the color of your skin deceive you. Say somebody's Oyimbo. Oyimbo. Anything they do, you want to copy. Some of them worship rats. Rats that you break the leg, eat without mercy. What is it that we don't even eat in this state? Some people worship it. I'm sure some people are worshipping cockroach somewhere in this world. Cockroach that we used to kill like this. In Nigeria, it's too religious. There are two church everywhere. Most of you say in church everywhere. You don't even have mind. Say mocks everywhere. Let them come and visit you. It's only church you mention. How many politicians have you seen gone to the TV and say, Nigeria is too religious. There are mocks everywhere. Everybody is buying their head. We are not educated. Talk that in and see. You'll be so surprised they will have the next prayer in your house. But if it's Christianity, they can joke with any time. And we are not enemies with such people. I'm not trying to say I'm their enemy. But I'm saying we should be careful. Most of us are not even sincere. We want to talk about religion. What is the problem of Nigeria? You know. Mention it. That's the problem. We here, we can vote there. There, can they vote here? And you are saying, you know the problem, you cannot mention it. But if it's church, anybody can come. Drunkards can talk on church. Thieves can talk. Even EFCC are talking. They say they want to regulate church money. EFCC. That they don't understand why church are getting rich like that. When your government is owing loan that even your... We don't know when we will pay that loan. My God. Do you people know that all of us are owing money? You say, no, I'm not inside. You are inside, though. That's why you are buying fuel the way you are buying. That loan must be paid. Whoever believed that one day, remember when fuel was, some of you did not born you that time. How many of you were alive, were on the earth when fuel was 60 something naira? Don't lie, oh. I'm seeing some people, they born 2000 raising their hand. How will you know? 60 something naira. Do you know they even born some people 2005? That's unbelievable. If they born in 2005, raise your hands up. Don't lie. See one there. 2005. Even this one, 2005. It's unbelievable. Fuel was 60 something naira. It now grew to 80 something naira. And when it grew to 80 something naira, the present government and his boys protested. Oh my God. It was no small, massive worldwide protest. Yes, but they are here today. How much is fuel? Approximately 1,000 naira. And nobody's protesting. Are we not hypocrites? Yes, sir. I say, wait, are you seeing it now? Yes, you know, we are speaking revival. Don't worry, you'll see the connections as time goes forward. There was a time people went to protest against church. Anytime it's church, there's a special energy in the hearts of people. Have you noticed? There's one special energy. When they say pastor, you're the lion in you gets revealed. They say Tinubu, it gets calm. If you really want to fight corruption, who is more corrupt?
false prophet or the present government. If you have mind, go to White House. Stand in the front. See, the thing is not hard at all. It's just opposite Mandela Barrack, I think so. Just go and stand. And say, Zela, you are not passing today, my president. Do you people know that Koza, it was alleged that the pastor raped a lady. Alleged, no evidence. She just cried like Potiphar's wife. That's what she just did. I don't know that again. I'm trying to explain this. Place. That's what she did. Like Potiphar. Was there no evidence? There was no smoke. They said there's no smoke without fire. Do you know? His own is not even like Potiphar's, Joseph's case. Joseph ran out without clothes. Only boxers. The woman was shouting, help, help. She now tore her cloth, tore his cloth. Evidence choke, right? But did he do it? This one, no, nobody cloth tore. Nigerians say, no, we will not allow that lady to suffer in vain. We will stand for her. They went to Koza and said, no service will happen in the church. Nigerians. I thought Nigerians were merciful. Nigerians, people are dying for fuel. Hunger rate, high. Bandit doesn't need to come to you. The present situation is banditry already. It's killing people. Some people died by who bandit killed. They were prepared for it. They have already said, I surrender. Because they were already tired. They were already dying before they died. And yet Nigerians cannot stand up to defend, to go and protest. But do you notice that when it's church, there's a special energy? Yes, sir. Somebody who stands up with his long head, Padeboy, has a private jet. But Simon, you say long head? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Jesus called Pharaoh what? Fox. You know, people think these things are insults. They are not insults. They are descriptions. Long head simply means amiable, pork nose, waiting to consign you. They look at Padeboy that is so wonderful, beautiful soul, and they say he has private jet. Who should have private jet? Look at your neighbor, everybody. Ask them a question. Everybody must ask. So if not, you come up here and ask me. Ask your neighbor, who should have private jet? Padeboy or Tinibu? Ask again, Padeboy or Davido? One last time, Padeboy or Bonaboy? Who deserves private jet? These other people I mentioned, private jet should be withheld from them so that they don't go around talking nonsense. That's not adding value to anybody's life. You enter a place, you are smoking ganja and telling people, wind your waist. We should withhold private jet from you. You are a weapon of mass destruction. But a man going to give people Jesus, he does not even deserve one. He deserves like three, so that in case one is not okay. I don't know that you people are getting on treasury. Prosperity is coming to the church. You have not seen yet. Revival is here. This one you have seen is small. You see, church people, I can never come back. Oh, it's already too late. Oh, it won't make sense. Oh, we will change the world. We will spend the billions. And at the end, we will hear, well done. See, there are legitimate reasons. There are legitimate reasons to want to be stinkingly rich. Can't afford to be poor. We should be able to bring people from every part of the world together in one place and hear the gospel free. And That's why you are working hard. Do you know your working hard is a statement in the realm of the spirit? You are saying, God, I understand your purpose for me and the church. That's why I'm telling myself, I cannot be poor. They've not seen anything yet. Say, Bishop Oedipo has private jet. You know, my pain in the whole thing is that they don't even think. We have come to a point that Nigerians are carrying government problem, putting government responsibility on the church. It's unbelievable. Look at what those guys sit in the National Assembly, in the Senate, and they say nonsense. You will sit down 24/7. Every time they sit down, do you know they are paying them? And people are dying everywhere. Everywhere like meat. How many of you saw the video I was sharing with my wife of a woman who was breastfeeding her child before she died? Yes, sir. Saw that picture? Yes, sir. Unbelievable. And instead of face your government, Satan is distracting you. There's this special energy when it comes to church. Are we saying they are not false prophets? They are false prophets. Should the false prophets you are seeing make you start insulting every prophet? No. They are actually, see, everything there is false. Is there no false government as we are seeing so? There is true government, there is false government. We have false government. Revival is coming up. And do you people notice something? If you read revival stories, right? It was at point when nations seems to be going down. Darkness seems to be hitting nations that God stepped in. From my discovery of revivals, stories of revivals. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It was at point when nations seems to be going down that the revival hit such places. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Check. Those are the ones you use. Amen. So Satan is causing some kind of distraction right now. Now, if you notice, many people, young people especially, because I sense the revival coming starting with the young, especially in this country. But are you seeing what Satan is doing? Making young people have hatred for the things of God. You know, I had somebody who I used to know many years ago. He has a problem with the church today. He said he's an atheist. So then now, because I know the person, they used to know me with the person. So people started reporting to me that, this is your guy, is now an atheist. I said, they call his name. I said, So I didn't pay attention to it. I tell you the truth. For 2 weeks, I did not message him because I just felt like he's a crazy, crazy human being. How on earth, even though he was not so much in this spirituality, he was watching us. I remember one of the times I tried 3 days dry fast, so he said he wanted to do it too. He stopped in the second day. So I saw how he really had passion. He wanted to really improve. And when I heard he's at 80s, I said, it's a lie. So I did not even message him for 2 weeks. One of the days, I just was led to go to his Facebook timeline. And I started seeing the rubbish he was posting. And I noticed one thing that is not an 80s. He only has problem with church and church leaders. And from what I'm sure he's watching. From what I know about him, he had had problem, even the church he was serving, he was having serious problem with them, the leadership. And one of the problem was that they said he was close to me. You know, church too has some kind of politics, and we're not excited to share some of these things with you, but it does happen. Are we together? You know, while I was on campus, God really did mighty things with us. We started from campus, BSU to be precise. So while we were on campus, we had several ministries, and he was part of this particular ministry. And when I came to school, you know, the wave of God's glory started spreading, and people getting to know me were coming very close. And of course, you know, at that point, people were not so schooled in administrative ministry. So you see, somebody can be in a church but be admiring this pastor and want to even change his church. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? And I remember I will always, by God's special grace, tell them, go back to your church. Some of you who are on campus, you can remember that. There were days I come to fellowship and I, what church are you from? When they answer, I say, all of you stand up. I go back to your church. Nobody was doing that on campus. I was doing it because I wanted peace to reign. Are we together? And this young man was so glued to me. He said he wanted to learn from me and etc. And because of how close he was to me, the church leadership noticed him. And even though he was one of the oldest people there, people that came after him and he led to Christ, people he even baptized in the Holy Ghost, they made them pastors at some point. And he was still not a pastor. And one time, he was just wondering, not like he wanted to be a pastor, but he was just surprised because of the way they do things there. And one of the person said, our pastor said, because you are close to prophet, you can never be a pastor in this church. So he said, okay, because I'm close to prophet Simon, he said, okay, no problem, I will never be there. So he came and told me, and I encouraged him to be serious with the things of God. But it affected him so much. The talking against, the backstabbing, everything affected him. So he decided to not even finish his project. He left BSU like that. Because of the trauma. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He just got offended at some point. And offend is not good. That was not a good reason. But he left. And he became traumatized, kind of. Kept on thinking. And when he tried coming back, they said it was time has elapsed. He cannot even finish his project. So it got to him so deep. So now he was looking for the root of why he made that decision. What was the root? The church. And now he's against the church totally. He's looking for reasons to talk against church. Any small thing he sees about church, he will post it. I remember one of the posts one night I saw on his status, a bishop who was leading the service. In the night, the bishop was in a party. Sorry, on Friday night, the bishop was in a party. Then on Sunday morning, the bishop was leading a service. He carried the two video and mesh together, before and after. And he was laughing on his status. He said, oh, these hypocrites, that's how all of them are. So that night, Anan said, what of me? And I said, you are different. I said, write it that we are different. Some of us are different. He said, no, I cannot write it. I said, write it that some of us are different. He said, no. I said, so me too, I'm a hypocrite. You have stayed with me. One day you say I'm carrying women. He said, no, prophet, I know you. I know your track record. Blah, 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 blah. I said, if you know me, write that there are some doing well. So he was now struggling. He said, no, he has already posted. Maybe his next post. I observed he was not posting. So I told him, it's obvious you are offended at church leaders and not church. He said, no, pastor, see, I know what I'm saying. I found a new path. I said, do you believe that there is no God? He kept quiet. I said, I called his name. I said, answer me if you have mine. Do you believe there is no God? He said, not really. I said, what kind of atheist are you? You know, I've seen atheists like that. They brought one to me on campus in BSU. We were in the library reading. So he now came to me. He even came to introduce himself. He said, I'm that atheist you are looking for. I said, you're an atheist? He said, yes. He said, Prophet Simon, yeah? I said, yeah. He said, I've heard about you. I heard you can convince people. I said, no, I'm not trying. I'm not even looking for you to convince you. I just wanted to tell you that Jesus is real. Oh. He said, you know they like argument. Really? How real? I said, we are reading. I'm not here to prove Jesus to you. So while I was, he just faced me like this. So I said to him, I said, you don't believe in God? He looked at me. I said, you don't believe in God? You think, okay, just tell me, God does not exist. He said, wait, calm down, prophet. Not exactly. I said, give me a yes or no answer. Does God exist or not? And I said to him, the consequence is that you are saying God, you are not real. Never have anything to do in my life. He said, no, I can't say that. I said, why? He said, should in case there is God, let me not lose. So he said, I want to be in the middle. You know, when you don't understand the principles of God, you can come to that point in your life. How many of you know fellowship head leaders who right now, you cannot look up to them again? In your secondary school, one fellowship head leader like that. Girls or guys. How many of you remember? Yes, they were very diligent in the fellowship, but now if you see them on Facebook, they are baddies. What do you think happened to them? They were just doing Christianity anyhow, like a religion. Riyas are there by 5 o'clock. Oh, let us bow down and worship Jesus. No revelation. Just practicing religion. Those days, if you remember, when you go for youth all night in your church and they say, who has special number? All of you used to raise your hand. Am I lying? Who has never given special number in this place? Praise the Lord, I have a special number. The title of my song is, I Give Myself Away. As you listen, may you be blessed. Please don't mind the voice. Mind the heart. I give myself away. I give myself away. And after giving yourself away that night, you are following your boyfriend back home. It's so funny. We're all practicing what? Religion. Including myself. I was practicing religion as a Christian when I was much younger. I used to be a drummer in church. I used to be an MD. But Jesus was not crossed in my heart. It's the truth. I remember those days. Boys, I was not included, but I was around them. They used to sing for girls to like them. Some of you who used to be in the choir, you can remember. When you are done singing one powerful song, you don't say, hey, she was laughing. Worship song to God, oh. She was laughing. Our face, our eye jam. Lie that you did not talk that thing. Our eye jam. We smiled. Plain what? Religion. That's why after several years, what comes out of you? You become, you forget God. Some become atheists. Are you listening to me? Because there was no foundation in your walk with God. You were just practicing what? Religion. That's why after several years, everything vanished. Are you all listening to me? This wonderful morning. And that's what is happening. Even today in our country, when the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, you all have to listen. Oh, don't move. I don't want movement. And you that is sleeping, I have a scripture for you. In this, I will soon quote it. And you will rise up and come here soon. In Ephesians, awake, O ye that sleep. God knew that someday when somebody is preaching, some people will sleep. So he gave us that scripture. He said, when you are awake, the light of God will shine in your heart. So where was I before the sleepers got me? Huh? No, not that MD part. I passed that part. What? Forgetting. All right. You know, you are wondering in our state, for instance, righteousness, the Bible says, should exalt a nation, but sin is a what? Reproach. But have you observed that some of our best leaders are very religious people? Not best leaders. Strong leaders are very religious people. Hey, look at me, everybody. They go to send something, yet nobody's still like them. Because they are practicing religion, not true Christianity. You are not talking like you are feeling me this morning. It's as if I'm hurting you. The Bible says righteousness what? But sin is a what? Right now we are wondering what is happening. Because we are not only ruled by Christians that go to church, politicians, we are even ruled by... but we don't understand what is happening to us. The Lord give you understanding. That we can't even tell the number of people dying. We say our state is peaceful. When it's not. Because we want second term. Yet people are dying everywhere. Is this state peaceful? It's not close to peace. I told my dad. Was it my dad I was telling? I said the solution to this state. They should share gun. That's part of the. I'm just joking. But do you know if we share God, nobody will come close to you. These people you think are strong, Fulani bastard or whatsoever they call them, if you just share God, it's bastard now because if you have father and mother, you will not kill another person. You have home training. They don't have a root. They share it. Who will come close to us? I'm teaching revival. Don't miss me. You are wondering, prophet, what is happening to you this morning? I'm happening to you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to, hey, you know, if you are not ready for this shoot, still sit down. You must be ready. You know, you see people looking thin, slim, like broom. Even the AK-47, I was talking to one of my military friends. He said, if they shoot it, you see them shaking like they want to fall. Is that the kind of people that can stand with human beings? But because of bad leadership, are you listening to me? And I believe this is why God is bringing a revival to our states. There's a revival hitting. They say, I'm a prophet. I wouldn't tell you what will not happen. You see, all of you seated here that think you have a problem with God. You don't have a problem with God. You will love God with the whole of your heart. Are you not seeing the traces already? See, a beautiful life is in God. A beautiful life, a sweet life is in God. That perfect man is not in club. He's in God. That perfect woman is in God. You don't get married to the best man. You know. I'm not saying religious men. I'm saying Jesus men. They are in church. I haven't seen any ugly person around here. Anybody being religious around here? Satan should not deceive you with all those pink lips without the Holy Spirit. Pink lips that can die anytime Satan wants them to die. Am I saying the right thing? What makes you a head is not pink lips. All those boys that will be wearing pink lips and tight trousers. Magnitude and no direction. I hope you know Satan can just use one old woman that didn't go to school to hit two stick. And they are gone. Do you know how they killed some people? They carried stick and they carried pin and they took the stick. And they say, oh, my heart, they died in their bedroom. I was telling somebody, I said, if you die like that, God will judge you. I tell you, anybody that dies like that, God will give you another judgment, not to hell, to a smaller part of heaven. I say, go and sit there and learn this thing. You did not learn it on the earth. You are playing religion. As we are talking now, be listening. You know, some of you think you are healthy, man. I don't finish BS, so I read political science and I have masters in. That's not what makes you mature. Tell somebody, be humble. I used to know a guy of first class. I heard the story. He had first class. Brilliant guy, blah blah blah, doing masters, almost gonna hit his first class again. Then they say he died mysteriously. If you are going to church, you can die mysteriously. If you are a Christian, you won't die mysteriously. Isn't this Christianity? It's not about argument. Arguments, you know, I read from a scholar. He said when you see two people argue, they are arguing. I mean, they are just communicating ignorance and foolishness to each other. If you are wise, you don't argue. All this argument online, Jesus is a boy. No, Jesus is a girl. All these stupid things. If you are in it, you don't know who you are. Truth does not argue. We are in a generation where people want to look fine and nice, but not Holy Ghost feel. When you talk about the Holy Ghost, they are denying. You know, the Bible said a form of godliness, but what? On Sunday they are like this. On Friday they are like this. In the night, in club. How do you think glory will come to our state, to our nation? Let me tell you something some of you don't know. Is this some of you seated here? The politicians that are ruling you today, they were very humble like you seated here today. Many years ago. If they told them they will steal money, they will not believe. In fact, they showed one politician doing special number in church when he was young. He was in Jesus. He was just in Jesus. Now? Somebody came to my office and said, I want to change this state. I want to become a politician. My father did not achieve it, but I know I will change this state. Things like that don't move me here too. Was just boasting, sir, I'm tired of the government, blah, 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 blah. I said, ooh, glory. Then I said, Are you in a relationship? He now lifted up his eye up. Not exactly. I said, can you be sincere to me? He said, yes. I said, how many girlfriends do you have? He said, sir, it's not like they are girlfriend like that too. We are talking with one, we broke up one again and we're considering. I said, how many? He said, three. I said, three. Only you. I said, how much do you have in your account? He said, not up to 100K. I said, okay. When you become a governor, you have plenty 100K. 100K into like 1 billion places. Inside your account, they'll be looking at you, be looking at them. I said, so any sin you want to do in this world, there's money to support the sin. I said, if right now less than 100K, you have three girlfriends, it is God's mercy that you should be broke right now and not be a politician. I'm speaking to some of you that the reason why you are broke now is because God loves you. If God releases you with money, if God gives you money now, the way you are, Facebook, five messages on Facebook, all is, hello, sweetie, hello, sweetie. Five first message on Facebook, if we check your Facebook now, it's hello, sweetheart, hello, hello, I'm a GCMI member, you are coming to our church. Five! Imagine God gives you billions. You know only message on Facebook, you will drive around the area. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Hi, can you hop in? Hop in, please. Let me give you a ride to Riazas. How can an angel be moving like this? She should be flying. Some of you, as you are listening to me, you can tell that truly God loves you. That's why you are broke right now. Say, but Simon, there are some people that are not living well, but they are rich because they are thieves, some of them. I mean, they are politicians. But you see, listen to me carefully. If you want to grow with God, He will check your character. And if your character is right, your character now become your capacity to getting all the necessary blessings on the earth. Are you listening to me? Very important. Very, very important. Somebody may be asking, is it because majorly, try to hit the nail on the head, majorly the problem with Christianity majorly is the flesh. Am I right? Am I right? Church, am I right? The Bible said the flesh is what? The spirit, sorry, is what? But the flesh is what? Weak. Majorly, you know, I was thinking this morning and I said, majorly the problem of Christianity is the flesh. And it's not supposed to be a problem. So I started thinking about the Waves Revival, the Azusa Street Revival, and all of the revivals that have happened before. And I'm asking myself a question. Do you know, for instance, the Azusa Street Revival, the building that revival happened, the government have seized it today. It's used for another thing differently. That building, in those days when the revival was happening, there will be literal fire oozing out from the building. That is down from where they are. It will go up to the roof, and another fire will come from heaven, and they'll slap each other. It was happening. That people outside will be calling fire service. When fire service come, fire service will not understand what is happening. Fire will go, it will come back. It will go, it will come back. Right now, they sold that building. It's used for another thing that is rubbish. Again, a church, I think it was Scotland or so, were celebrating freedom from church. Please listen to me. Because I sense that thing happening in Africa. Somebody may say, why are they celebrating freedom from church? Look at what is happening. Look at what happened. Now, if you look at that church, because the church now is a club. The church is a club. It's a big cathedral. Please, I want to hit my message now. It's a big cathedral. But right now, they use that church as a club. And the people were happy. Oh, we are celebrating freedom. There's no church in my city. There's no church anymore. All the church, like this church now, we're going to use it as a club, blah, blah, blah. They were happy. Tears started dropping from my eyes while I was watching the video, celebrating. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my eyes. He said, don't be angry. He said, I prophesied this in Matthew. I went to Matthew. Jesus came to his own. The Bible says his own received him not. Imagine church rejected Jesus. Because church were so much in religion that Jesus came to them, they rejected him. Please follow me very carefully. Imagine you are playing church so much, your religiosity, that God comes to you, you reject God because of your religion. And so we say, no, those guys in the days of Jesus were wicked people. Those Hebrew Pharisees, they were stupid guys. Why would they kill him? In fact, some of us will cry when we watch the Passion of Christ. Oh, they killed him. Wicked people. Do you know that if you were there too, with the way we are practicing religion in our days, we will still reject Jesus? We will still reject him? You think it was easy to believe Jesus? Think about the words he said in scripture. Somebody comes to you. You are drinking from the well. Your father of faith, Jacob, dug for you. You are drinking from the well. You call it holy water. Please follow me this morning because I'm not going to say with mercy. You call it holy water. You are drinking from that holy anointed well. And Jesus comes to you and says, give me water. You say no. Then he now smiles. See, they did not write everything Jesus said there because it cannot be going that smooth. You think Jesus did not laugh? Then Jesus now said, okay, blah, 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 blah. It was not straight talk. He said, give me water. She said, she wouldn't give water, blah, 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 because he's from another place. He now said, if you know who is talking to you, you will not even fetch water from that place. Because the purpose of fetching water there is not chiefly drinking. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They will all leave their houses to come to that particular well to fetch water. Because that was holy water. Why? It was Jacob himself that dug that well. Please follow me carefully. Jesus said, you will not need this water for anything. He said, because I can dig a well in your heart. And instead of coming here to fresh water to solve your problem, you can be from your house and solve your problem. It was on that scripture, that part of scripture, I think John 4, that he said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living waters. And the woman was wondering, what the heck is he saying? What does he mean by that? And Jesus, she said to Jesus, we are the ones that have legitimate means to worship God. He said, no. That's what you thought. That's what you were taught. Listen, the people that taught them were not bad people. They are people that work with God but under the old covenant. Are you people listening to me right now? Jesus said, yes, they taught you that. And it's cool, they taught you that. He said, but it is right now, there's a better covenant that speaketh better things. He said, worship is not legitimate because it's done in Jerusalem's temple or anywhere or on a mountain. He said, God is spirit. He is not on a mountain. He's not in a particular temple. Are you listening to me? He said, and they that must worship him where? In spirit and in truth. Meaning you can be in your bedroom and be worshiping God. That's what God is trying to make them understand. How many of you think you believe God after you know that you, your God, is in one part of your church? You go and bow every morning. Listen to me. The demon of religion is a very stubborn religious demon. As we are talking, it can make you even offended at the truth. Go and read the Bible. They were offended at the truth Jesus spoke. For every time Jesus was speaking, the offense grew. Hatred grew towards Jesus. The Bible said they took up stones to what? Even stone him at some point. That's how terrible the demon of religion can be. I read a book many years ago by Derek Prince called Lucifer Exposed. I didn't want to read the book because I was wondering, what is the meaning of Lucifer Exposed? I don't like books that talk about Satan. But the Holy Spirit told me, read the book. So I opened the book. I thought it was a book that would be telling me times of demons, I would have closed the book. I was so amazed. He started talking about how Satan metamorphosed, how God created him from the beginning as Lucifer, light bearer. And after a while, the abundance of his trading made him Satan. And after a while, how religion came in the Old Testament and how Jesus came in the New Testament. But my emphasis is this. He spoke of how that religion is now a fortress for Satan's, should I call it diplomacy or whatsoever, is a fortress for Satan. Meaning religion, he called religion the strongest pillar of Satan in the end time. He said religion is the strongest pillar of Satan. Then he began to explain what happened in the days of Jesus. He said, imagine when Jesus said all of this truth, the people did not only say crucify him. When the government said, I don't find any reason to crucify this person, Pilate, the wife said, wash your hair. He washed his hand. He said, I don't find any reason. Do you know, according to history, I don't want to say this anyhow, but I did my own best into, according to history, do you know Pilate now became a Christian? Yeah, it's not captured in the Bible. They said the government of Jerusalem had a problem. His government, because he was not now behaving well again. After that encounter, he didn't have peace. So he wanted to return to Rome. On his way back to Rome, he encountered some people that made him Christians. It made him a Christian. That really did something to his heart. He had an encounter. Are you listening to me? Wash off his hands. The Pharisees, who were God's people, according to them, they're the one worshiping God. They said, they took a thief. I don't know what to, maybe more than Anini. He didn't only steal provision, he killed people. A bandit. See, imagine we say Boko Haram leader has been caught. Nigerians are not happy. They now keep him here. And they now put Jesus here. I tell you, that's what happened. Go and check about that man in scripture. Religious folks looked at the person bringing problem. Should we execute? Because you see, Pilate was looking for a way to release Jesus. He wanted to release Jesus. He said, who should we release? This guy or this? And he was so shocked. The Pharisees, the chief priests, the bishop of those days, I even get what I'm trying to say, looked at the people and told them, choose the other guy. And Pilate, the Bible said, was shocked. Choose the other guy. The guy was free. He smiled and he left. If you watch the movie, he smiled like a demon self. And he left. They now say, crucify Jesus. They didn't stop there. They say, his blood be upon us. Because they knew Pilate was scared. They said, see Pilate, just give him to us. His blood be upon us and our children. Meaning, while they were killing, destroying, doing all of those things, it was not Pilate that was giving instruction to flog him. It was religious folks that say, flog him like that. Go and read it. Those came, they flogged that the Bible said, we saw his, do you know Jesus' backbone was revealed? They will flog with those irons and pull it out and his meat will come out with it. All of those things, it was religious folks. When I started seeing it in that book that by Derek Prince, I was literally almost shaking. My body was literally shaking. Is it so? Religion is the strongest fortress for Satan in the end time. Have you met religious people before? I mean, somebody is shaking wine, shaking alcohol to stipple, yet telling you that Jesus is Lord. Such a person, if he becomes a governor or he gets into political position, what do you expect of him? Are you guys here tonight? This is the problem of religion in those days. See how wicked they were. See how terrible they were. Now imagine, years later, you know something happened to them. Jesus, when he was leaving them, before they crucified him, Jesus said to them, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I have longed to gather you like a mother hen wants to gather her chicks. He said, but you refuse me. Then he said to them, as long as there are what? Carcasses. He said, the vultures will come trying to eat. You know how vultures will come when they are dead, people are dead, dead meat and the rest. So he called religious circles in those days, he called them dead beings, carcasses. He said, as long as you guys are carcasses, you don't want the light of God, you are carcasses. He said, vultures will come and have their way with you. Meaning Satan can have access to you guys easily. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because you are not allowing the light of God come inside of you, even though you are wearing white and white. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to explain. So you now wonder why in our days that the gate of hell seems to be prevailing over the church. Think about it. Because as long as they are carcasses, what will happen? They will gather and eat. You know, the guy, you know, he goes to church every day. He died of cancer. How? As long as they are what? The vultures will what? He's not going to church. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. He said, don't go anywhere. These are the people that saw Satan fall down like lightning. The guy does not pray in the Holy Ghost, but he has a deliverance ministry. The 12 too had a deliverance ministry before Jesus resurrected. Think about it. They did all forms of miracles, and when they did it, they came to Jesus and said, we saw Satan fall down and lightning. And Jesus said, don't be excited for all of these things. Be excited that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And how would that happen? Except he's dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. So he said, as I'm going now to die, blah, blah, blah. He said, tarry, don't come outside. But these guys, they had anointing that were delivering people from demons. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? there's a man of God I know. He does not pray in tongues. But no. Even though that happens, Jesus said there's a reason why they should not go outside and reveal him with that level of anointing.
Yes, sir.
You know, people are asking questions. The guy does not pray. Are you more anointed than somebody else? It's not about that. I don't know how to explain this thing. Maybe I don't understand it too steeper. But if Jesus said, wait until you are full of the Holy Ghost before you go, we need to wait. That simply means there's something special about the Holy Ghost. He said, tarry there in Jerusalem. Wait there. Don't go anywhere. Don't go and represent me. I mean, the disciples and Mary, the mother of Jesus, John, all of them were there. All of them were there. And wonderfully, on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered outside for Pentecost. Pentecost happened to only 12 or more people in the upper room. The experience, 120, I mean, in the upper room, not with everybody that gathered, because the culture entails that they will all gather in Jerusalem and celebrate Pentecost. You see, they just be eating and drinking, but there were some at the upper room who were gathered. They were the only ones that experienced the true meaning of Pentecost. Let me tell you what happened in the days of Jesus. For every time they were celebrating a feast, Jesus showed up as the manifestation of the feast. When they wanted to celebrate the feast of living water, they will always pour water up. And when he hits the ground, they will say, "Our God is a living water." When Jesus came, on the day, the Bible says, on the last day of the feast, Jesus came into the temple. He shouted, "I am the living water." Meaning, stop pouring water. But everything points to me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Forget about the practice. I'm the reality of the practice. When they went to the pool of Bethesda, he went to the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says once in a year, an angel will come and see it, and people will get into it and receive their healing. And when it happened that year, everybody entered, but there was this guy who was what? A leper. The Bible said he was just seated. He couldn't move. And Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, the guy answered because he felt like Jesus only understood that his healing was tied to entering the water. He said, "I can't get into the water. My brothers entered. They left me. Blah, blah, blah." You see, you can do it. Have a miracle from God and still have a bad character. You can't help somebody. After receiving miracle, see how they left. They left one leper there. And while he was complaining, Jesus said, "I'm not talking on the strength of that water there. Do you want to get well?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Stand up, take your bed, go home." He didn't enter the water because Jesus is the living water. Listening to me this wonderful morning. Now, that is the problem we're having with religion in our days. We tell them we don't need literal water. Jesus is not a babalawo. He does not need to put in a river. He is a living water. If anybody comes into Christ's living water, he becomes a what? That's what we're doing when we put people in water and bring them out. It's not supposed to be a practice. It's supposed to tarry till Jesus comes. Did Jesus baptize anybody in water? Because he's a living water. Now, are we insulting anybody doing that? No. Because revelation is growing little by little. But when you now make up your mind as a man of God and say, "No, I will not believe that thing. Blah, 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 blah." You are now a Pharisee. That means if Jesus comes in your day, you would have rejected Jesus. The problem Jesus had with the Pharisees was that they were against his practice. He was against their practice. At some point, he called bishop hypocrites. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? He called them hypocrites. And I was telling a young man, I said, "See, we should be careful in these last days. You think revelation is scarce? Jesus said, before you come to me, I will come to you." We are seeing very dark mama quoting scriptures to somebody. Very dark man. How many of you saw it recently? The guy, and you think he's foolish, pay attention to what he said. He made more sense to the person that was saying the other thing. He was doing exegesis. I just told myself, let me hear what this guy has to say. And I was shocked. I'm not saying he will get everything right. But see, revelation is not scarce.
Yes, sir.
You can't manipulate in these days. Something terrible is happening in the Nigerian church. You know, you may say people are rising up. It's God. See, at the center of all this chaos, I will tell you without fear, it is God.
Yes,
if all this chaos don't happen, some people will not sit up. It is God. I'm not saying all the characters we are seeing are right, but at the center of everything we are seeing here, it is God. He's at the center of all. Revival is coming to the church. It's beginning from the house of God. So these were the things that Jesus said that made the Pharisees crucify him. He came to them at a point. He was talking about himself. They started quoting Abraham, their grandfather of faith. Then he said to them, imagine. He said, before Abraham was, I am. How many of you can bear that? I know where they gave birth to this boy. He now came and he said, before Abraham was, I am. The Bible said they took off stones first. He did not stop there. He spoke more. He said, you believe, you think your father is Abraham? He said, that's why you die. And why do they come in the Bible and not say Jesus disappeared? The Bible said he fled from them. Jesus ran away. He ran. You know, some of your perspective of Jesus is very, very wrong. You cannot imagine Jesus flogging people. Oh, my Savior, Savior. He took up things. They were doing bazaar. Sorry, they were doing some celebration in the church. They were selling and eating. Are you here? I'm so sorry. I got it wrong. They were doing all of the eating. The Bible says he took up cane. He said, my father's house is not a house of buying and selling. I mean, he said it's a house of prayer. He whipped them all off. But Jesus, for Jesus to whip many people, or him alone. I'm wondering what the disciples were thinking. Oh boy, now who would they follow like this? One man, pia. You know how bazaar, I'm sorry, you know how celebrations can be. He flogged them off. How many of you, if we're doing that kind of celebration and Jesus come and flog you off, you now say, don't crucify him? They had reasons. They had a lot of reasons to crucify Jesus. You know, when we watch the movie, we say, ah, those people, idiots. Make I catch one of these Pharisees for heaven. They had legitimate reasons to them. This is what is happening nowadays. Somebody comes with revelation like this. Pia, you see it, you say, I was born here, I will remain here, and I will die here. Die now. I promise you, you regret that death. It's the truth. You think in the heaven, when you go to the heaven, God will say, Pentecostal, Catholics, Methodists, Olumba Olumba. You think that's what he will do? Is it Olumba Olumba? We white garment, they call them. We, when we're growing up, we used to call them Olumba Olumba. You think that's what God will do? I will say brotherhood. You people should come. Right? That's not what he will do. Are you listening to me? There will be nothing like that. Some of you are expectant. That's what will happen in heaven. It's a lie. See, God has never coronated anybody as number one church leader in the whole world. He's the head of the church. He is the head of the... Nobody can come and tell us what to do in church. It's only God. We know it's man and woman, not man and man. We don't care whether you are wearing white or white. Whether white smoke came out. But we know Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I tell you, when the parousia happens, some of these buildings, you see them scattered. He said, destroy that temple. It took 43 days, years to build it. 40 something years. He said, in 3 days, I'll build a fresh new one. The Pharisees became angry. Will you not be angry? 43, so they were collecting money every Sunday. How many of you have gone to churches where the project never finished? For 40 something years, they were building church. Beautiful. The disciples were walking with Jesus. They said, Master, see that church? And the Bible said, Jesus told them, shh. There's nothing beautiful about the church. He said, you see this building? That was the trouble they made. They asked Jesus about the church. He said, I would destroy it. In 3 days, I'll build it up again. They didn't even worry the 12. They couldn't hold it. When Jesus just sat down, he said, sir, please explain what you meant by that. How can you destroy something that took 40 something years and in 3 days? He said, you don't know. I meant for my body. I'm taking this, your own nature that I've taken upon myself. I'm taking it back to the cross. I'm destroying it. So do you know why there's order? Catch this. You know why there was those order and decorums in the old temples? Why you go to the part of, to a church and you see design? The church looks more finer than you. It looks more arranged than you. A part of the church is where Jesus lives. You know why they had all those decorums? Because you were dirty. You could not hold Jesus. But now that the old man, the old body of sin has been destroyed, and you have received a new fresh body, we don't need to put Jesus in any part of a building anymore. The Bible said your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus does not live in building. Which building can you make for Jesus? He said in the book of Psalms, he said, I don't live by in houses made by human hands. The only thing he can live in is what he made by his own hands. And you are who he made. Are you listening to me? He is in us. He is not in any building. You see, we brought Jesus here. If we live here, he follows us. Although we can leave the influence there. If you come here after church, you cannot steal. You just come here when you try stealing, you will remain there till we come for the next service. That's the influence of Jesus. But the real Jesus is in us. That's why if you close the building, you have not stopped church. You have just find trouble. You have given us access everywhere. And I was talking one time, somebody said, Pastor Simon, the way you preach, be careful. Benue government can come and seize your blah, blah, blah. I say, if they say I should not preach, is it not good? God, oh yeah, let me go to what country? We'll move. But I tell you, even if I'm in any state, I will affect this state from the state. In fact, it's going to be worse. I'm a prophet too. I'm not one of the high priests. You will never see me with any politician snapping picture. In their politics was, if they come here and we snap, fine. I won't try to hide my face. But you will never see me. I've said it. You know, some of my neighbors one time, not trying to be proud, please. They met me and said, while I was staying alone, they work with the government. They say, man of God, we saw you want to do a project. Let's do a Thanksgiving. We invite all the politicians we know and they'll donate. How much will you give us? I thought I was dreaming. So they will organize a Thanksgiving in this church. Politicians will come. They will donate for the Thanksgiving. But how much will I give them as their percentage? They are the ones to invite them for me. And I said to them, are you for real? They say, yes. I said, no, I don't do that kind of thing. They say, it's not you that say you want to buy land. I said, no, I don't do that kind of thing. He said, wait, man of God, if they give you a political position, you will not collect. I said, not in this life. I'm not collecting. He said, you don't need government money. I said, no, I don't need. They should do the road they are supposed to do. Yeah. And they should use it to employ more police to save us from killings and the rest. Then he was wondering. He said, we'll come and see, Pastor, the way you are doing like this, we can put you in a trouble. Come and make sure you don't preach in this town. I said, oh, no problem, I'll go to another town. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. But I'm not involved. I'm not. Are you listening to me? Righteousness, what? Exhaust a nation. Sin is a reproach. The problem of our state and this country is that we have a lot of religious people in leadership positions, not true Christians. And who told you that Christians should not enter politics? They are telling you politics is deadly. You are more deadly than the deadliness in that politics. Yes, sir. More deadly, sir. Some of you are destined to be governors of this state. I'm not joking. And if you don't man up and say you get into politics, nothing will happen to this state. Nothing will happen. You say, Pastor, how will the money come? We are here. We are not joking, though. Declare your intention. If God approves you, we'll send you the billions. The kind of campaign you do, nobody has ever done. Two bag of rice. One cow after I win. We will send it. You win it. There's somebody saying, no, you are men of God, don't share rice. They are sharing cooked rice. We are sharing bag of rice. These deposits. And when you enter, you are not cheating. You are working. Yes,
Because this is an agenda. Are you listening to me? Say, in this state, Jesus is number one. In this state, no stupid blah blah blah. In this state, as you are giving the laws, demons are checking out. And if they try to plot you, we are prayer warriors. Tirelessly baraku papalia. If it's gone, we have bullets on our lips. I don't think it's only there we have bullets. You are in government, you still have bullets. You boost in the spirit, you pour in the flesh. Pastor Simon, what are you saying like this? That's what I'm saying. In the Old Testament, my God, God inspired people, strengthened them to go and win wars. Somebody said, Pastor Simon, if a Fulani man comes to you and want to hit you or hit your child, what will you do? I said, plug his head, man. In the name of Jesus, I'll plug his head. And I'll thank Jesus after his head is on the ground. Father, I thank you for this head on the ground. So, but Simon, you are not a Christian. Oh, sorry, I'm a pagan. David said, you Goliath, today I'll plug your head and I'll feed it to the birds of the heavens. Which kind of prophet is this? Biblical prophet. When Jesus sent the disciples, he told them, carry some daggers. Yeah. Go and check your Bible. He said, carry your knife. He said, I carry this thing. Please look at the way they are looking at me. It's like they don't believe what I'm saying. Get that scripture for me. When Jesus sent them and told them to hold some things, he said, sell you, just hold some things. So that in case you are preaching and somebody says, I don't want you to preach, you say, and he said, I want to kill you. He said, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. When he refused, then, you know. I don't know where they taught that kind of Christianity. Look at our brothers in Kaduna South. I don't know where they taught that kind of things from. That I should sit there and say, Savior, Savior. They don't actually say, oh, I'm coming home. Get your daggers. I'm bringing revival. If they are watching me, get your daggers. If you cannot get gun, gun is a crime in Nigeria. Arrange whatever he can represent God. Those days we used to have what we called catapult. David King Goliath with catapult. You are looking for God. Get something. Be praying in tongues. Be sharpening the distance. None of you would die to any useless bandit. If you think if Jesus was in our days now in Benue, what will he preach to you? People of God, I'm going to bring you in a dimension that you'll be flying in the spirit. So that as you are traveling and they come, you just fly. If God wants to make me fly, that's good. But if I cannot fly yet, am I saying that the instrument is how you win? No. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. Firstly, we pray in the spirit. When I was doing a study this morning, I know my wife did not know I would preach this kind of thing. You see, I found out something tremendous, wonderful. These people, Israelite, we pray to God, sacrifice to God, but they will not carry their knife and go into fight war. Did you see what I'm trying to explain? Don't first thank God, then they'll carry their daggers and be going. We no go green, yo, we no go. So that you pray to God does not mean you should not have your. This is part of revival. Because when we respond two by two, three by three in several places, they'll go back and think well. Jesus did not call you to be timid. Are you listening to me? Be prayerful, but you are not timid. You know, this is our land issue we are having. We bought land. We all joined money to buy land. Then one criminal somewhere said he likes the land. That's the case with us. There's one of our lands we bought, the parking space. You know that parking space I showed you guys? A criminal in town here said he likes it. He did not want to buy it. He's now trying to steal it. That's the case we have here. He works with the government. So he wants to steal the land. And somehow I found out and I went there. And the guy was wondering, is it the guy, nobody, he feels nobody can talk to him. And I said to him, I said, God has never lost a battle. He will not lose now. He was not like, hey, that guy spoke to me. He was not telling people that they should warn me. For telling you God has never lost a battle, I did not even say anything. So I woke up one morning. After trying some useless attempt, he tried in the spirit. I almost plugged his head out. So he ran out. Came in the physical. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to say rubbish. And I woke up. My wife was telling me, Pastor Simon, you know, the way this thing is happening, I'm not supposed to be at the house alone, blah, blah. I said, my wife, my house. You cannot be in the house. You know, not that I was angry towards her. I was like, so I cannot live in my house in peace again because of one uncircumcised Philistine somewhere. Or uncircumcised Benway man somewhere. I got offended. I said, go into your room. I sent a message. I checked the man's name. I sent a message. I said, you foolish, uneducated thief. Because how can you be somebody, you know, you want to steal land with affidavits. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There's a location paper you want to steal land with affidavit. Where does the thing happen? I swear, I lost my own allocation paper. You are seeing the allocation paper you are going to do. So you are a foolish thief. You did not go to school as a thief. I said, I've heard your stories. They say he's a devilish man. He gives. I said, I've heard your stories. And I told him, your end has come. If you cross this line, last time. I told him, this is the last time you cross, you end. And if you think it's spirit alone, you come physical, I will beat you up. Listen, I'm not trying to say, you know, some people say, is the Holy Ghost here? He's fully here. I have a wife, I have a child. You want to come and try my, you come to my house to try rubbish? My God. I grew up in a place that they know how to fight. I know how to fight, so forget this suit you are seeing. I don't fight, but I know how to fight. You will never see me in this town fighting. But if you visit me in my house and say you want to try, Rugas are high. It means you meet God in heaven. And he will send you to hell. I told him it's the last time. You know, some devils, they have impetus. Let me end with this, people of God. It's all this rubbish marching ground they are doing that one cultist will sit in town and be saying, before you build house, come and give them 100,000. Those days are over. Unemployed, uneducated fools. Yes, we can't be righteous in this town. You bought land, you paid everybody, you even saw the community, and one cultist will be somewhere say, come and see us. Come and see you. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that stand before the army of the Lord? Do you know his brothers were running away? Yes, the king ran away. David, after learning so much from the Holy Spirit, he said, you are an uncircumcised Philistine. You don't have legal right to step your leg in God's property. He even described God's people. He said, who stand against the army of the Lord? Army of the Lord were running, you know. Army of the Lord, are you here?
Yes, sir.
I told my wife one time, I said, you see this stupid bandit thing? They will learn. If they don't learn, normally they will learn by fire. If they put a gun on your head, somebody asked me that question years ago. He said, if they put a gun on, now I'm not being stupid, please listen to me. Whether you are careful or not, the people that were careful, some of them have died.
Yes, sir.
They have died.
Yes, sir.
But somebody put a gun on your head, what will happen? You will not die. I said, see, I don't know how gun operates. I read in physics. I know bullet travels after light is bullet. But I know I have God, and somehow God will do something.
Yes, sir. Somehow.
I said, well, what will you do? I said, I'll collect it and I'll blow your head. Those stupid days are over. Are you listening to me? Don't expect to die. You are not dying. By fire, you are not dying. If your hope, the Bible said, is in this world, you have what? Most miserable. Put your faith in this useless government. Do not. Put your faith where? On God. Take out time. This is not a time to be lukewarm as a Christian.
Yes,
with the things happening around, you cannot be chasing after women or chasing after. You have to be strong with God. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
Read Bible. See how God made people blind in scriptures not to fight his people. See how God will cause the sun to stand still so that his people will win. Then you think God will allow a Fulani man come and kill you in your house? But you must engage the covenant in prayer. You must engage it. We can't be seated as Christians. She was coming from my house with me in the car. I said, how can we be Christian? We'll be Christians serving God, and one guy somewhere smoking Igbo and meeting Azov Speed will be determining the day we leave the earth. Say, I'm going to kill Prophet Simon. I'm going to kill Pastor Peter. How much did they give me? 100,000 to kill? How? You think that's how God is cheap? You've got fire. Army of the Lord, are you listening to me? Bringing revival to hit the earth like never before yet. From your house it is started. Boldness by the fire of the Holy Ghost. On your street, meet them. Talk to them about Jesus. Revival has started. You don't know who you are talking to. Maybe he's the next governor. He said, go into the world, make disciples from all nations. And like I rightly warned about religion, sometimes you can be the greatest hindrance to what the Lord is doing. Where you are coming from, the things you have believed can be the greatest hindrance. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Leave religiosity. As you limit the Holy Spirit, you limit Jesus in your life. Else, why will you tell me that you still have cancer till now? Why will you tell me that you still have tuberculosis now? Why will you think Jesus, with everything he did, the Bible said he was weak for our sicknesses. Is that what the Bible said in the book of Isaiah? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That whip he had from his back, 30 something strokes. Maybe 40 strokes. If you check it in medicine, they have 30. The same number is the same number of the root of all sicknesses in this world. Jesus took all the root of sicknesses. You cannot be sick. How will the cancer leave? You don't ask God that kind of question. Do not take a thought by saying, how shall this thing be? Whenever you take a thought from Satan, you ask God a question. How can you ask God a question? He can do all things. God, how will the cancer go? What? You are asking God? You heard Satan. That's why you are asking God. Cancer can go like it never happened. Tuberculosis can go. HIV can go. Are you listening to me? Any form of infirmity can go. Don't manage sickness. Send it off. You are a king and a priest. If you put your hope in medicine, you will suffer. You have been hearing reports. Sorry, the doctor gave a wrong prescription. You want to end up like that? I've gone to hospitals and hear stupid things before. We are so sorry. The doctor prescribed something wrong. We are so sorry. The person have died. Or they are doing the operation and NEPA took light. You have no head. If your hope is in this world, you are what? I told you the story of my sister. Operation is happening. I say operation. Baby, what a bust. I did research. They said that's terrible. The baby may die. I brought her midnight. Down to 8 a.m. They've not started anything. Down to 11. They've not started anything. Water was just pouring. Down to 1. I hit the doctor's door and entered. A woman was on the table. They were gisting. If your hope is in this world, you're of all men most miserable. And when I shouted at them, they came out trying to check. They said, sir, we are sorry it took some time. It has to be an operation. Can you imagine? It has to be an operation. These are people that you think should be saving your life. You see, when you eat well, 2 in the morning, 2 in the evening, it's not eat well. But let your faith be on Jesus. He's the greatest physician. He made your intestine, small one and the big one. He made your esophagus. He's the one that made your throat. He made your nose. He's the one that arranged everything in you. He knows what to touch. Doctors cannot finish knowing you. Don't be deceived. Whatever they've done in BSU and UniAgri and well, is just a miniature microcosm compared to what God knows about your system. You think they know everything that determines everything in you? Even physics, it comes to a point you cannot explain again. What is it called? quantum. It has entered supernatural. That side now we leave it for God. So don't allow your civilization make you foolish. Say we're in a point, blah blah blah. Be spiritual. Spirituality has a lot of advantage. Let me give you one. Wind cannot kill you. Sickness cannot kill you. You cannot sit down and they say two people plot in your village and say, we want Richard to go. That's the punishment for Mr. That's his father's name. Let his boy go. As they are trying it, immediately they call your name, fire. The place catch fire. How can they call your face in water, one dirty water in one village, and your face appear? You that have seen the glory of God. That is why these people don't respect Christians. They have killed some of them. They don't respect Christians. They've gone somewhere and called a Christian name, Mark, 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 go. And Mark died. So now they've done, from their experience, they say, Christians, they just make noise. Riga Bakata. They've encountered the wrong ones. That's from their own perspective, the wrong ones. You come here, your mind will be clarified immediately. You can't sit down somewhere and be drinking chicken blood. You buy chicken, soak the blood, and say, now I'm going for Oche. Which Oche? Inside Oche, there's Oche. That you kill one in Okpoga does not mean you can kill one in Makodi. You people get on chasing. We can be classmates. The grace is not the same. Don't just be a banker, a politician, a military man. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled, super filled with the Holy Spirit. They shark chicken blood. They come in the night. Me, my Christianity is not for killing witches alone. No. You have heard me in this church. Do I preach this kind of things? But I tell you, no witch can kill you as a Christian. As they shark chicken blood and come, Rigo. 30 kilometers to your house, angels are welcoming them. Hi, who do you want to see? The Bible says we are surrounded by so mightily a cloud of witnesses. See, they will not only meet angels. Do you know that? It says we are surrounded by so mighty a cloud of witness. They will meet Father Abraham first. The Isaacs and they will meet Apostle Paul. That's one side though. Then the Bible says we are in an innumerable multitude of angels. There's somebody who smokes Igbo. Karabashokabaya. We said today I'll end this guy. Today? Today you will see the glory of God. You are taking blood of chickens and rams and goats and whatever you are taking. We have drank the blood of God. We have drank the blood of Jesus. All of us here, we practice communion, common union. It means common union, meaning the life in the blood of Jesus is our life now. We have a common union with that life. The body of Jesus is our body now. These are the things you know that make you boast about God. They say that uncle, when he talks, don't answer him. No, you answer him. Like David, answer him. He talks one, talk 20. When Goliath said, I'll chop you, this little thing. David said, he first described you, uncircumcised Philistine. You stand before the army of the Lord. You are putting him in problem with God already. He said, you stand before the army of the Lord. I'm sure God is like, okay. David, continue. You are joining his head with God. He said, today, I will pluck your head. I will feed to the birds of heaven. What to pluck his head was not on David. It was on him, the Goliath. What will kill them is them. Blessed are those that bless you. Curse. Killed will be those that want to kill you. While David was speaking, he was laughing. The Bible said Goliath. It was a joke. He said, Goliath, shift. You see all those your boys? They are shouting, I is man. I will kill all of them too. No one gun, no machete, nothing. just words. Words are spirit and life. Words are spirit and life. Are you hearing me? The Bible said Goliath died. One stone, two stones, three stones, five stone. Grace killed him. He died. David removed his cutlass. Cut his head like he said. Kept it at the side. So the people started calculating. The soldiers of Goliath. He said he will kill our Oga. He will remove the head. He will kill him. He don't remove the head. He also said he will kill us. If he killed our Oga, remove the head and promise to kill us, he will kill us. They turned back. They started running from a young boy called David. Why? Because David was small does not mean that he didn't have God. The Bible says he that is in you is greater. Is greater than he that is of the world. Every trouble in the world, every circumstance in the world, every thief, every devil, anybody in the world, he that is in you is greater. Is greater. Goliath died. The same God that killed Goliath cannot allow anybody to stand before you and win you. That was Goliath in the Old Testament. Old Testament. Old covenant. The Bible says we live in a better covenant. The old covenant was what men stood upon and said, let the sun stand still so that we win a battle. God made sun to stand still so that his people will win. Old covenant. And you think God cannot make everything stand still for your business to move? Don't think big. Think small. Think very big. Just open your mind and think very big. Because the kind of God we have can fill any space you create. The Bible says he that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever. I am delivered from thinking small. Just when I thought that, you know, in scriptures, Elisha and the woman, he said, close the doors. When she did something wonderful for Elisha, he said, close the doors. He said, what do you have? He said, a small bottle of oil. He said, go and borrow gallons, jerrycans. She went and looked for jerrycans. He said, close the door. You know why he said, close the door? Neighbors will be asking whether you have mental problem. He said, close the door. He said, let's do something prophetic. From this little jerrycan now, bottle of oil, start filling the whole jerrycans with oil. The woman did not ask a question. She knew that was a prophet. She took it. Started filling. She filled from something like this. Go and check the Bible. You know, you may think we are scamming you. We are not scamming you. Fill jerrycans. As long as there were jerrycans, oil kept coming out. And when they were, she was shocked. She now owns a factory of oil. You know what I'm trying to say? From this small business you are doing, do you know the God you serve? From this small business in that hidden place, do you know the kind of God you serve? This small business God will use it to fund bigger projects in your life. I mean, God can use this small business you have just started to give you that 1 billion that you need to that 2 billion. I mean, the small business will produce big businesses that will produce big businesses that will produce bigger businesses. That's the prophetic meaning of that part of scripture. God is not saying everybody should go and look for small. You know, he's teaching us something. That where you are right now is not a problem. If you know, if you align yourself with me from where you are, I can, with what you are doing now, create bigger things. The prophet also said, by this time tomorrow. That's what we're talking about, our state. Because of the revival that is about to hit us. This fire, we cannot allow it to. We are entering streets. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know, when you are done, when you are going home, this fire will rise in the night. It will cause you to pray. In the morning, before you know, when you are done from your work, you go to your work, you come back. The fire will say, don't sit there. Get into your streets. Call that Ima that has been smoking. Go and meet Ima. Ima is not supposed to be a smoker. He's an apostle. Meet him. This fire will not allow you to sit down. It will not allow you to sit down. This fire of revival, no. It will not allow you. And as you are talking to Emma, you are talking to James, you are talking to Rebecca, you are talking to these people you know as terrible sinners, something is happening. Something is happening. The Bible said the kingdom of God can be likened to yeast. We may be small. Say, ah, there are many unrighteous people in Benue State compared to the righteous. Forget it. We may be small. The kingdom of God can be compared to yeast. Yeast is small. The effect is mighty. As you are meeting Emma, meeting Rebecca, something is happening. We are making progress. As one person comes to Jesus every day, we make progress. All of a sudden, the city is cleansed. All of a sudden, this state will not be known for cultism. I tell you the truth, the day is coming and it's soon. This state will not be known for immorality. Because we are shifting, we are changing the culture. We are shifting culture. We are changing the mindset of the people. The demons over this state. Let me tell you something. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. He said we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. How? By subjecting their ideologies that seems to want to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. Demons are real, but demons don't fight you physically. They fight you through ideologies. There are certain demons who never want the civilization of God to happen in this state. They are the one pushing men to think in a certain direction and pushing men to behave in a certain way. So it's not about telling the demons to go away. It's by taking God's word, meeting every man on the street, giving them the word, and as long as their mentality is changed, the demons over their life is removed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So demons are as powerful as their ideologies in you and as powerless as their ideologies outside you. If a demon's ideology is not in you, their power cannot hold you. They can't have a grip of you in the spirit and in the physical. Now, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God in the city of Ephesus, and the church prevailed. If the kingdom will prevail in Benue State, the word of God must grow so mightily. I mean, we're talking about a time that if we go out in our numbers, we may not be plenty. It may be just you and two boys in your street. Three girls in your street. The fire, it has made you cry in the night. You can't hold it. You go out there, you are talking. Something is happening. You don't know that some of these people you are talking to are gang leaders. They go back and they declare an end to their gangs. Something is happening. As the word of God is getting ascendancy in the hearts of men, the demons are wondering, what is happening in the city? What is happening in the city? They are checking out. A time will come in this state, you will not hear cultism again. Why? Because you have decided to preach the gospel. You and I have said, from today, I make up my mind. I will not only be responsible in my place of work, I will find time to preach the gospel. This is how we shift cultures. This is how we change the world. There were two men in the days of Jesus, after Jesus left. The Bible said the city, when they saw, they said, these men that turned the world upside, they were determined. It's as if two people just stand up now and say, this Makodi, we will give ourselves no rest. Yes, Pastor Joe, go to high level. Me, I'm going to Uruku. Two of them alone. And the whole town heard of them. There are these two boys somewhere. They are meeting everybody, preaching, crying, shouting. I said, you ought to love Jesus. Preaching with fire, preaching with conviction, preaching with the fire by the power of the Holy Ghost. Why do you think you were created? You think you were created to just become employed and die one day as a civil servant? No, no, no. You were created for something bigger. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before God put you in your mother's womb and in Nigeria and in Benue today, He knew you. Now it's time to start aligning with purpose. It's time to start aligning with purpose. We must be that generation like the three Hebrew boys that stood up and said, oh King, concerning certain matters, we are not careful. Listen, we are not that generation that will try to mix the new and the old wine together. No. We understand that a music that does not glorify God is not from God. A people that don't sing to the glory of God should not be heard. That generation that is trying to join Davido and Dom Wayne to sound together is rubbish. If it's gospel, it must be gospel. Because clean and unclean water cannot flow from the same fountain. And listen, let me say this striking point. Revival diminished because sin, iniquity abounded even more. The West Revival, the Azusa Street Revival, you cannot compare the level of sin with now. They didn't even have telephones, some of them. Some of them didn't have tablet. Now there's internet, there's Wi-Fi, there's light. The level at which Satan is gaining access to the heart of men now is easier than before. So we need the actual fire of the New Testament to to solve this problem once and for all. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that fire is rising now. Next Sunday, I'm going to teach you about the flesh and how that God has glorified himself beyond all of those limitations. But right now, let's stay with this. The fire that must rise in the New Testament must be the actual fire that Jesus promised for the New Testament church. And that's why we must pray. He said, awake, O ye that sleep, and the light of God will shine on your heart. Is somebody agreeing with that scripture tonight? You can't be serving God like this and marry rubbish. No. You know what I mean? God will make sure you marry the right person. He will take it upon himself. See, I serve God. Oh, I serve God very well when I was younger. I was not looking for a wife. When God told me this is my wife and I walked in faith, I married. I tell you the truth, I don't think anybody has a better wife than me in this world. You can't serve God and marry rubbish. The understanding is beyond description. The way she thinks, beyond this world. And I tell you, I tell you, this is a gift from God. So you can't serve God like this and marry rubbish. He will take it upon himself that you must marry the right person. So if you are looking for a husband as a lady online, all my guys in Abuja, calm down. The right man cometh. As a man, calm down. The right woman cometh. Meanwhile, let's push in this kingdom pursuit. Let's shift cultures. Let's work hard in systems. You know why we are trying to make that first class degree? It's not because we want to boast and say, I have first class. It's for a kingdom purpose. So that when we are done, we'll be employed as lecturers. And we'll become people that determine decisions in systems. I was trying to share the leaders that in those days, when you make a first class degree, the government will take it upon himself to make sure you have full scholarship. They'll give you a car, give you everything you need because you are very hardworking. They want to appreciate you. In these days now, look at how sin has become a norm. Somebody will go to Big Brother Niger, show their nakedness, and they'll give them over 100 and something million. My wife is a first class student, people of God. She made first class 4.9 something. I'll be so forgotten because I didn't check it. Listen to what happened. They did not give her anything from the school. They gave her 5,000. When she went to apply for the five, yes, BSU gave her 5,000. They should be listening to me. When she went for the 5,000, they did not find the 5,000. Somebody ate it. Look at how corrupt the system is. Not just a first class student, the best graduating student. 5,000 naira. And some evil men sat on 5,000. Come on, 5,000. She just said, let me just collect. Let me just apply. I will not even collect. We did not even try to collect. They said, from this office, go to that office. They will sign on for 5,000. It was this Eunice Otom Foundation that gave her 1 million naira, I remember. BIPC, something like that. They gave her a million naira. You can imagine the corruption. Do you know that some ladies that did not go to school right now, politicians have built house for them. They receive salary. Look at how hardworking you are. You've not had, but you see, that's not a problem. We are rising legitimately. We are rising by fire. When you come to intellect, we are there. We don't just have Holy Ghost. I showed you something last week. I said the revival God is bringing through my life from this state is not a revival from the pulpit alone. That will say, dead, come back to life. Yes, be open. You heard the miracles this morning. That's not the only kind of revival that will happen. The kind of revival God is bringing through us in this town, in this nation, is more than just healing the sick. A healing revival. It's a revival that will make men competent. Make men bring civilization, competent civilization, that people from different parts of the world can look at us from here and say, what is happening in this part of the world? Let us go and see that kind of civilization. That's the kind of revival that is rising in this place. Men like Galileo, men like Mendel, these are all Christian, hope you know, men like Isaac Newton, men like Kepler's. Kepler wanted to prove the existence of God. That's why he even got his own law. The discovery he made. These are men. They were not just scientists. They were men of God. They were Christians. I'm talking about a time and a season that is happening right now. That you go to school and neglect what the teachers are saying. Even if the teachers are not teaching you well, no problem. You are trying to prove something. You are trying to discover something. Because some of you, it's not here God will use you. God will use you in the educational sector. I mean, we're talking about the greatest scientists rising from this place. That will not bring shame to the Faradays. People that will be doing things, and the Faradays will be like, God will thank you that you are raising somebody again. A new kind of discovery. Yes. Your mind sound. Like Daniel. Ah! Put me in the lion's den, I will not die. They said, let's see if his God will save him. They saw Daniel play with the lion. Because Daniel was not just intellectually sound. He was spiritual. He had fire. I hope you know you are not safe in that place, even if you are competent. Men can plot you. But if you have fire like Daniel, you come out of that situation. These are the kind of people God is raising there. People that cannot compromise. People with fire and stature. Not stubborn people. People that will obey the structures of his local church and go out in their numbers bringing revival. I was sharing with my guys. I said, do you know one of the last things Satan is doing that many Christians are not aware? Is that in the end time, as you people have been poured this fire. You know, one of my guys came to me many years ago. He used to be a protocol here. He left church. So later he came, apologizing several times. So he just came to the office one time, impromptu. And when they were stopping him from the door, I said, they should allow him to come. And he entered, started begging. I said, what are you begging for? I thought you left, blah, blah, blah. He said, sir, I'm so sorry that this is what to leave. The fire you were pouring in us was so much, and we felt that we needed to go outside and show this glory. That's why I went out and started something. You can imagine. This is one of the things Satan is doing in the last days. That this fire now that you are celebrating, you can sit in your house. Instead of going, serving and doing the work of God, you may think God is saying I should go and become the next Jew. As long as there is disunity. What did God say in Genesis 14? He said, if these people, as long as they have one language, one mindset, God himself said, nothing can stop them. If Satan wants to cause destruction now, what will happen? He will change the language. Pastor is talking this, that one is talking that, that one is talking that. Disunity. The vision for the revival diminished. I've watched revivals all the time. This is one of the things they've been diminished. Azusa Street revival, what was the problem? Disorderliness. Everybody came to a point they thought they were the boss. That's how that revival died. Even the West revival that they did not pray in tongues was stronger in influence than the Azusa Street revival. I mean time space, not present day, present season influence. Time space, it lasted longer the influence. Are you all listening to me?
Yes,
the Bible said the prophecy of the end time army is that they don't break their ranks. In those days, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the first way they test you is to come and clean church. In these days, it's not like that. It's to give you a microphone. He said, find me 7 men who are full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
he said, let them serve tables.
Yes,
let them serve tables. Meaning nothing in church is a useless function. Even serving tables. Whatever you are doing, know that it is because you are full of the Holy Spirit that you are doing that. If you don't do it, things will not be in order. If the people that clean church did not clean church today, we will not sit down comfortably.
Yes,
their arm is too in this end time revival.
Yes,
don't neglect your position. He said that the end, one of the prophets of the end time army is that they don't break their ranks.
Yes,
what is your rank, captain? What is your rank, lieutenant? They keep to their rank.
Yes,
they don't break their duties. That spirit that is making you miss out responsibility in church. You cannot do what they say you should do. You are not following order. It's not of the Holy Ghost. Is an end time demon trying to alter revival. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I saw that at the end of my studies today while I was checking scriptures. It was the Lord that said, do not neglect the gathering of brethren. Which revival has hit this earth before that there was no gathering? Is it like it is in the culture of others? How will you have been stirred with this fire? Imagine that you miss church, all of you standing and looking at me now. Imagine you miss all of this, you are listening. How then will you recover? That's why Satan fought many people missing church today, because he knows what they are about to receive. You see why you fight sometimes. You allow people to insult you so that they come to church. They say, why you they disturb me? Must I come? Did I come? You kneel down. They think you are foolish. You know what you are doing. You are sowing a seed. Because it is no longer you that live again. A new wave of revival hits our city. I was praying with what I read about Pa Elton. And he said it will rise from our state, Benue State. I remember I knelt down. And while praying, the Holy Spirit told me who to invite. We are going to invite somebody very soon to come and preach to us. He told me who to invite. That revival, like Daniel knelt down and said, he understood my books and began to pray. I started praying. And God was telling me, he said, it will happen. And the season has come. It has come. You see, when God starts working, don't be thinking it's too small. When Pastor told me about the last meeting they had in BS, I said that revival has started. Just from opening prayer, people are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Meeting could not continue. It has started. From tomorrow evening, we'll meet some of you who are students. We are meeting at the basketball court. The Lord told us, I don't know if the flyer is there, you should put it. We're going to be praying and singing. A revival has started in our city. The doors of that revival are opened. We are coming to all campuses, junior, Greek. Somebody is saying, why are you starting with the young? Because the young are the ones that can carry it. Are you listening to me? The revival has started. If you are a student or you can have time to go there, it's going to be almost eternal. It's going to be a movement. Every Mondays and every Thursdays. No preaching. Just go there and sing and worship. Maybe 30 minutes charge. 30 minutes charge. Prayer and singing. The Lord told me, I said, Lord, should we carry microphone? He said, Simon, before there was a microphone, there was me. He said, give me a guitarist. Let there be strings. Let there be worship. He said, men will come. And my move will be strong. The last revival that happened that hit America was the Asbury revival. That's how God started it. He started prophesying to a young man. He says, the pastor of the young man, why is Pastor Peter come? He said, God is going to start a move on campus. Just like that. And as he was prophesying, the young man was filled with the power of God, crying. The next month, the revival broke out. Men were coming from every part of the world to see what was happening in Asbury. How many of you heard of that revival? It was in a church. They just were gathering in a church, playing guitar. No sound, no music, just the guitar. How great is our God? The glory of God. People said they were coming there to sleep because the peace they were feeling there was more than their home. Some that came and experienced revival rushed back home, bathed, took their kids, carried food, sleeping there for more than a month. Why? The presence of God. God is purifying our city. It's purifying our city. Mighty things will happen in this city. Write it down. I may not be your popular prophet saying this, but I've seen it. Mighty things will be said about our city. Lift up your hands, everybody, wherever you are. Can we be on our feet? Just lift up your hands and say, Lord, let this revival come, especially through me. May I not miss out in what you are doing this season. Everywhere, your hands up. It is happening. It is happening. It is happening. It is happening. Lift your hands. We'll do one song. One song. One song. We'll do one song and the glory of the Lord will fill this place and begin to empower us. Just lift your hands and pray. Lord, whatever you are doing in this season, please, may I not miss out. Revival is here. Oh my God. Listen. Let me tell you one story and reason why you should pray. There was a time a professor took five boys, to the home of John Wesley. An excursion, Bible student. Took them to the home of John Wesley. You know, John Wesley was one man God, through which God brought a revival in his life. And Why they were there, they were showing them everywhere, especially the studies. They then took them to the bedroom, a small bedroom. And they saw two holes that bore at his rug, on his rug, sorry. Two holes bore, it went inside. And he asked the professor, what is this? He said, this is where John Wesley knelt down every night to pray for revival. And while the five boys were going outside, they observed that there were four. One was remaining. He didn't follow them outside. So when they were about to leave, the professor said, where is the last boy? And they checked, he was not around. The professor now went everywhere. He now entered and saw the boy crying with his knee on that two holes and praying with all tears and all prayer and supplication on that same spot that John Wesley was praying. Guess who that young man was, is today? That young man was, sorry, Billy Graham. Are you listening to me? He was who? Billy Graham. Did we see Billy Graham everywhere in the whole world? Did he preach everywhere in the whole world? Did he influence the whole world for Jesus? What am I saying? One way revival comes. Leon had said something. He said, the reason why we don't see revival is because we can do without a revival. He said, if we are persistent and say, God, we cannot do without a revival. He said, revival will come. What am I saying this morning? That if you are desperate for a revival, it will come. Like Billy Graham, it will come. Like William Seymour, he put his head in a box. He said, Lord, if there's no revival, I'm not removing this head. He prayed. I'm not saying put your head in a box. That was his way of maintaining silence. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And revival came. If you are desperate today, you say, God, I want that thing to start from my home. Forget that you look like an ordinary person. Many people that revival started with, they never saw it coming like that. They were very ordinary people that God used. The great Benny Hinn today we celebrate, his ministry started out of frustration. Sorry, Evangelist Renard Bonnke. His ministry started out of frustration. The person he invited did not come. And he cried out on stage when people were with wheelchairs, you know, people were sick. He shouted, God help me! In tears. As he said, God help me, people started rising from their wheelchairs. That is how Evangelist Renard Bonnke started. So don't think you must be very extraordinary for God to use you. You may have not prayed for 15 years, but this is your time. Are you listening to me? You can become part of that movement. Lift up your hand in desperation. Total desperation. I want you to pray. Whether you don't know how to pray in the spirit in tongues, it's not a concern. Just pray. Go ahead, everybody.
Be in this place. Lord, you're doing something.
I can hear you, church, from the depth of your heart.
Awaken supernatural faith.
If you need to find a spot to pray, find that spot.
Your glory
is
tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something.
Pray the way you know how to pray. Just make sure you're praying.
Awaken supernatural faith. Hey, your glory, it's tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something. Awaken supernatural faith. Hey. Your glory, it's tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great. Awaken supernatural faith. Hey, Yahweh,
Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh,
Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh,
Yahweh,
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.